The bankruptcy of Enron has cost investors tens of billions of dollars. It's also cost many so-called experts on Wall Street a bit of their reputations. In mid-October, every one of the analysts surveyed by the group Thomson Financial First Call was still recommending that clients buy Enron stock. But not everybody was fooled by Enron's accounting gimmicks. NPR's Scott Horsley reports now on some of the investment advisors who got it right.
James Chanos started betting against Enron in the fall of 2000, when the company's stock was still trading between $70 and $80 a share. Chanos says there was no single warning sign that made him suspicious about the company. Instead, it was a pattern of things. Insider stock sales, high hopes for a glutted broadband market, and that footnote in the 1999 annual report about Enron's dealings with off-balance sheet partnerships.
We read footnotes for a living, and we kept reading it and reading it and reading it. We couldn't understand what they were doing.
So Chanos and his firm, Kennecoast Associates, sold Enron short. That is, they borrowed shares and sold them in anticipation the stock would go down. Short sellers are often seen as pariahs on Wall Street, but in Enron's case, their doubts turned out to be prophetic. So why did Chanos see it coming almost a year before so many others?
What we read was available to anyone. People either didn't read it or did and were satisfied with management's explanations as to why they shouldn't worry about it.
Enron management had plenty of explanations, and many on Wall Street took them at their word. James Grant, who edits Grant's Interest Rate Observer, complains too many analysts who work for investment banks are reluctant to question companies' managers for fear of losing their valuable banking business.
The problem on Wall Street is not IQ, it's not knowledge of the mazy accounting practices of companies like Enron. It is a willful lack of objectivity.
Analyst John Olson knows what it's like being asked to recommend a stock for the sake of investment banking business. He says that's why he no longer works for a big investment bank. Instead, Olson works for a small firm in Enron's hometown of Houston. You might think there he'd be under intense pressure to root for the home team. But Olson says he had the advantage of seeing the company up close.
I think by the time the Enron story made it to New York or Boston or San Diego, it looked a lot bigger and more impressive than we thought it was back here in Houston.
Olson says it was always hard to tell from Enron's financial reports just what was going on inside the company. So for most of the last 10 years, he refused to recommend the stock, despite pressure from Enron executives that sometimes bordered on intimidation.
Occasionally I'd said, boy, those people are making a lot of money. But on the other hand, I just had enough doubts or lack of conviction about this story that I felt that it's something I just couldn't pound the table blindly. And in hindsight, maybe my little effort was rewarded.
Tempting as it might be, though, Olson isn't gloating, especially in Houston, where Enron's collapse has put thousands of people out of work.
I would like to say I told you so, but the damage that has been done here has been so measurable to so many people that it would make no sense. The rich got richer and the poor lost their jobs.
Olson does hope his example might encourage other analysts to speak up when they have doubts about a company, but he's not optimistic. He says the lesson of Enron is invest in what you understand, and when an analyst recommends a stock, get a second opinion. Short seller Chanos adds his own warning.
Are there other companies playing games with their books? Absolutely. There's plenty of them. I have a portfolio full of them.
While disasters the size of Enron are rare, Chano says, there's no shortage of overhyped companies with their own problems just waiting to get caught. Scott Horsley, NPR News, San Diego.